prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
In honor of the new year, I'm doing this show. I'm also doing it for selfish reasons, for myself as well, because I have a bench press like a girl. I got a great deadlift, and I've got a great squat, but when it comes to the bench press, I'm embarrassed in the gym. So given that it's the new year and lots of people are making resolutions, I decided that we're going to do a show dedicated to how to build a big bench press, and I couldn't think of anyone else to have on the show other than Mike Westerdahl from CriticalBench.com. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good, Carl. And glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you, too. And actually, Critical Bench, while it's dedicated to the bench press as an art form, you guys cover a lot more than that. You cover a lot of weightlifting, weight training issues as well, correct?
Yeah, pretty much everything related to strength training. We even go into bodybuilding and things like that as well.
How did the website get started?
It got started in college. I was playing football, and I had one of the better bench presses on the football team. And I just put up a website as a hobby, part of a class, just learning how to build websites. And I wrote my program down of the one I was using in college, and that's kind of how it started. And it just got bigger and bigger, and eventually I was able to quit my full-time job and do something I love like this full-time.
So what year are we talking about?
That's about 10 years ago. We're talking finishing college in 99.
Wow, that's amazing. So in 1999, this was just like a combination of something you enjoyed doing plus something that you had to do for a class, build a website.
Right.
Wow.
Completely a hobby.
Talk about that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
10 years later, you're doing it full time.
never would have imagined.
Now, on the football team, how big was your bench back then?
I had a 400-pound bench.
Wow. I mean, that's really a big bench press for just about anybody. That's amazing. That's amazing. So all your teammates were like, Mike, man, how'd you get your bench up that fast, that high? And they all wanted to know what you were doing.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it started. Some of the younger guys, I mean, I learned from some of the older guys, and there was a handful of people around the same strength level. But we all trained a little differently than what the coaches had us doing.
Right.
They all had us bench pressing like 3-4 times a week, doing the same routine. And, you know, all the underclassmen were just following suit. And you know, you get a little stronger no matter what you do. But then some of the more knowledgeable guys kind of started doing their own thing. They'd leave and go to the local gym and do some workouts there instead. And all those guys started getting even stronger, including myself. And then I just kind of put it all down on paper.
Okay. All right, so obviously that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, this is part one of a two-show series because we can't cover it all in one show. So we're going to be doing this. The goal of this show is to take average, non-competitive guys and allow them to build a 300 to 400-pound raw bench press, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So we're going to do this in two shows, like I said, and Mike actually laid it out because he's the guru here. So part one, which is today's show, we're going to first address the common mistakes that people make, the things that they may have learned from, you know, common gym experiences or gym rats who, you know, tell them to do this, do that, and so on. And that's where we're going to start. So the first thing on the list that you sent me, the number one mistake that people make, you claim, is overtraining. Why don't we talk about that first?
Yeah, sure. I mean, most people that have problems with their bench press, they're very, very motivated about it, and they really want to improve it. And that kind of causes problems because it makes people work really hard. It makes them want to lift several times a week, and it causes the number one problem I see in the gym is overtraining. And what people really need to learn to understand is that, you know, your muscles and your body, they're actually growing and repairing itself when you're resting, not while you're training. So just because you train more often and harder doesn't mean that you're going to get better results.
Now, there's a consensus out there of power lifters who say if you want a big bench, you know, you got to spend a lot of time under the bar. Maybe that's misinterpreted by a lot of other people thinking you've got to spend a lot of time under the bar multiple times in a given week as opposed to just focusing a lot of your routines in the bench press. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. And it also depends on what kind of powerlifters you're talking to. I mean, you have, as not everybody knows about, there's geared powerlifting where you use powerlifting equipment.
Right.
And that takes a lot more time just to put in with those bench press shirts and things like that. And that's not really what we're focusing on. For just regular people going to the gym, the benching, that want to get stronger, once a week or twice max would be the most you would want to be bench pressing a week. You don't really need more than an hour at the gym at any time, in my opinion.
Okay. And you know what? And I want to throw something in here because my audience, we talk about steroids and stuff like that. And I think this is a big mistake for even drug-using athletes out there, that they don't give themselves enough time. They think that by using drugs, that means that they can train with greater frequency. And the central nervous system really does need time to recover.
Exactly.
That's where a lot of the strength is developed. So that's a rule that applies no matter who you are, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something you got to take into account for strength training versus bodybuilding. If you're talking bodybuilding for looks and you're not, you know, pressing the big poundages the same way, you need to rest your central nervous system. Just being under heavy weights, you got to let your nervous system heal up. Same thing with your bones and tendons. You get people getting all kinds of tendonitis problems. If you get strong too quick, your bones can break, your tendons have to catch up. And like you mentioned, people using drugs are especially prone to this. Their muscles are getting so fast, so quick, and their bones and their tendons aren't able to keep up, and that's when you get injuries too. So
yeah.
From a safety standpoint, I think it's motivating too. If you only bench press once a week, then you have to wait a whole other week before it's time to do it again. Instead of like 2 days later, you know you're going to be right back at it again. So it kind of makes you not try as hard sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you something else too. When I was working on my deadlift as my primary goal in increasing my deadlift, and I really started to pull some very, very heavy weight, I knew that I was overtraining because one of the things that I started to experience was I would start to obsess about the workout the day before. And I would start to get anxiety on the way into the gym. I would think, oh, man, I hope I don't blow a heart valve today. I hope I don't pull my back. You know, I just hope I don't injure myself. And when you're feeling that level of angst and anxiety, your body's talking to you. It's saying, you know what, you need to back off a little bit. And that doesn't mean necessarily stop the deadlift at that weight, but you need more time off so that psychologically you start missing it again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. Now,
and I train personally. I compete in powerlifting, and I train at a powerlifting club called Tampa Barbell. There's a couple guys in there that can deadlift 800 pounds, and they only deadlift once a month. The guy that's actually the strongest deadlifter in our gym, he only deadlifts off the floor once a month.
Okay, the rest of the time he's doing accessory work or,
he'll actually do another kind of deadlift exercises. Might be like stiff-legged deadlifts on a different week, but, you know, just basic back workouts, good mornings, things like that.
Yeah,
the actual deadlift exercise he's only doing once a month.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. And that's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, the next thing you have on your list is pre-fatiguing muscles, which obviously has come from the bodybuilding segment of resistance training. Would you agree?
Right.
So let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, if you're at a gym, you read a lot of stuff in the magazines and you're watching people at the gym, and there's nothing wrong with these methods like pre-fatiguing and stuff to get muscle pumps and to build muscle. But when it comes to strength training, it's something you got to watch out for. The first thing I'm going to talk about is the warm-ups. That's a big mistake I see when I'm in the gym. People doing way too many warm-up sets before they get to their actual working sets. So let's say most people are pyramiding up, so they start with a light warm-up of 10, then they go to a couple sets of 8, and you see a few sets of these. By the time they get to the heavier weights that they're going to be doing for like 3 reps, they're already tired from all the warm-up sets they've been doing, kind of already blown their load.
Right, right. And I guess you've got to make a decision. What are you there for? Are you there to get a great pump, or are you there to move a lot of weight? I mean, I've had this conversation because of a routine that I've been experimenting with, and I talked about it on my show one day. And I said, you know, if you got to look at training like you do work. If you had a job at UPS lifting boxes, before you left for work, would you do things to fatigue your back before you got there? Would you like go before you leave for work? Would you like lift the furniture in your house a dozen times so that your back is really sore when you get to work? Like you're not going to be able to lift as much as you want then once you're there. So that's a really good point. Okay, and then what about the workout splits?
Oh, still got one other.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, just the muscles that are involved in the bench press. Everybody knows it's your chest, using your shoulders. You're going to need your triceps towards the end of the lift when you're locking out. And then you also use your back for stabilizing the weight.
Right.
So you see, the way people set up, this kind of leads into the workout splits, like you were saying. But you'll see people training shoulders or triceps and then go to bench pressing. So
yeah.
If you've already tired out your shoulders and your triceps, how are they going to help you now when you're benching? It's a different exercise, but you're using the same muscles. And it's not just in the same day. You shouldn't be doing shoulders or triceps even the day before you're benching, preferably not even 2 days before you're benching.
Would you agree with the 72-hour rule, or you think that even and when you start lifting very heavy weight, that even goes out the window?
72 hours, that's like the minimum.
Yeah.
I prefer to have them like 3 days apart.
Yeah. You know, and again, that comes from the bodybuilding culture, because they're looking for, to stretch that muscle, the casing around the muscle to get a really good pump so that they have, their muscle is getting larger as opposed to strength. And obviously, there's a lot of guys who'll do shoulder work and tricep work before they do bench work, because the attitude is, if your shoulders and your triceps are weak, then your pecs have to do all of the work. But again, you've got to make a decision. Are you in there to build a big bench, or are you in there to build what looks like a body that can perform a big bench?
Right, and those things even go hand in hand sometimes. I mean, if you look at some of the old school power lifters and Olympic weightlifters and strongmen from back in the day, these guys were lifting heavy weights and they're huge. I mean, you can get big too. It's not like you're just going to get strong and you're not going to grow muscle.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you're lifting heavy weights, that's a great way to put on muscle mass. And then maybe later you're going to go into your fat burning or high reps for cutting.
Right, because the body goes...
You can get big muscles from lifting heavy, too.
Right.
Because many people would argue with that.
And that's a good point, because there is a school out there that thinks that muscle growth and muscle strength are two very, very different things, and you have to make a decision on which one you want to go after.
Right.
But the truth is, through supercompensation, which is what the body does, every time you lift heavier and heavier weight, the body supercompensates, so the next time it doesn't get challenged to the same degree, and that's obviously strength occurring.
And you can even get the best of both worlds. I mean, with your first exercises, your primary movers, your compound exercises, like chest day, if you're doing bench press, use heavy weight and do low reps for that. But then afterwards, when you're done with that, you can go into your assistance exercise and do some of the higher reps.
Right.
On some of the isolation or assistance exercises, and that way you try to build some size with that and build the strength with the prime movers.
Hey, Mike, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will pick up with the rest of the list. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Mike Westerdahl from CriticalBench.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Finally, a supplement that delivers multiple benefits in one capsule, Drive. Drive delivers stimulant-free energy, muscle strength, and stamina. Drive promotes dense, lean muscle growth, dramatically improves recovery time, mood, and motivation. It even enhances sexual performance. And because it's stimulant-free, it's great for late-night workouts. Now you can try Drive from Applied Nutraceuticals absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click on the banner ad for Drive and get your free trial sample of Drive today. Drive. Back in the day before the ban, 1-Testosterone was known as a surefire mass builder. Now you can relive the past with 1-T. 1-T is a topical pro-steroid cream precursor that converts to 1-Testosterone. 1-T can help you gain 10 to 15 pounds of lean muscle mass in as little as 4 to 6 weeks. Get some 1-T while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for this powerful pro-steroid to be added to the ban list. Visit PRIMORDIALperformance.com. Custom nutrition based on your own DNA? GeneWise makes that a reality right now. Time magazine has named retail DNA tests the 2008 invention of the year. Imagine having nutritional supplements, cosmetics, and skincare products designed specifically for you based on your own DNA. No more one size fits all. Custom is better. The genetic revolution is here, and GeneWise has the wellness industry buzzing. Call 800-373-8696 or visit them at dnaislife.com. That's 800-373-8696 or dnaislife.com. Be healthy, be wealthy, be gene wise.
AndroShock is an all-natural testosterone support stack that contains no banned substances. AndroShock may be the most potent legal testosterone support stack sold as a safe alternative to steroids. With 10 dietary supplement ingredients that are believed to help boost your body's own natural testosterone levels, AndroShock will have you feeling stronger and more youthful in no time. Enhance your testosterone levels, don't replace them with harmful drugs. Try AndroShock today. Go to trulyhuge.com today to learn more about AndroShock. Over-the-counter non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs carry a lot of systemic risks, but possibly the most annoying is that using them after a hard workout may actually inhibit muscle growth. But sometimes you just need some relief. That's why I use Ibunex. Ibunex is a topically applied ibuprofen formula that also includes glucosamine and chondroitin. Ibunex will not circulate throughout the entire body. It goes to work right where you rub it, and it works immediately. You can get a free sample of Ibunex by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking on the Ibunex banner. And this is really a free sample. You don't have to pay for shipping or handling. Get some Ibunex today. It's free, it works fast, and it won't stall your muscle growth. When your research project requires protein recombinant peptides, think of purepeptides.com. Purepeptides.com operates a state-of-the-art recombinant laboratory with the highest standards of production right here inside the United States. A complete line of stock products like IGF-1 Long R3, growth hormone-releasing peptides, growth hormone-releasing hormone CJC-1295, and mechano growth factors are readily available for the best prices at purepeptides.com. If you don't see what you need, purepeptides.com welcomes custom order requests. A team of scientists is ready to serve you. Don't risk the success of your project to questionable foreign sources. Trust purepeptides.com.
In the world of hardcore bodybuilding, there is no other resource like MuscularDevelopment.com. MuscularDevelopment.com, like our magazine, is uncensored, uncompromising, unrestrained, no bull. At MuscularDevelopment.com, you'll find message boards, photo galleries, contest information, training and rehab information, our weekly No Bull radio show, newsletters, and more. And we tell it like it is. No bull. Training, nutrition, drugs, breaking news stories. It's all here at MuscularDevelopment.com. MuscularDevelopment.com. Uncensored, uncompromising, unrestrained, no bull.
Athletes who depend on that extra dig deep kick at the finish line depend on the all-natural Cardio Breeze formula. Cardio Breeze enhances your endurance. It uses a proprietary blend of herbal extracts and CNS enhancers to increase metabolic rate. So whether you're training for your first 10K or just looking to kick your fitness regimen up to the next level, you need to include Cardio Breeze as part of your regular supplement schedule. Now available without a prescription from Anafit.com. Cardio Breeze, it's world famous for a reason.
AFBoard.com.
If you want to know the real score on lifting, dieting, bodybuilding, and performance-enhancing supplementation, you've got to take it to the board.
AFBoard.com.
Online discussions with powerlifting legends like Mike Miller.
AFBoard.com.
Bodybuilding tips from top champions like Heather Lee.
AFBoard.com.
The online discussion that gets you the real information. No fluff, no ifs, no maybes.
AFBoard.com.
Log on. Ask questions. Learn.
AFBoard.com.
AFBoard.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Just a reminder, if you go to superhumanradio.com, we've got a couple free things we're giving away to listeners. Again, you look for the banner ad for Ibunex. You can get a free trial sample of Ibunex. It's a topical ibuprofen product. So you don't have to swallow your NSAIDs. You can rub them right on, and they go to work in seconds. Also, we have a free sample from Applied Nutraceuticals of Drive. Drive is their non-stimulant-based pre-workout supplement. Since it's non-stimulating, you can use it before workouts in the evening and still get a good night's sleep. You can get a free sample, trial sample of Drive. And then we also have Anafit's Cardio Breeze, which is a stimulant-based product that is designed to make your cardio sessions less arduous and just go by a lot faster, in a breeze, as they say. Again, go to superhumanradio.com. Look for the banner ads for Ibunex, for Cardio Breeze, and also for Drive, and they will send you absolutely free samples. You don't even have to pay for shipping and handling. Anyway, we're talking today with Mike Westerdahl from criticalbench.com about how to build a big bench, and this is part one of a two-part series, and today we're addressing the mistakes that people make. So, Mike, we addressed just now the things that pre-fatigue muscles, and that's a mistake if your goal is to build strength as opposed to just hypertrophy. Right. The next item that you had on your list is self-doubt. This is a big one for me personally, actually.
Well, I think it's huge. It goes so much further than just working out. It can affect everything in your life.
Well, I mean, but especially the bench press is unique in that, look, the deadlift, you can drop the bar. The squat, you can even let the bar roll off your back. I mean, the truth is, you know, but the bench press, it's like the friggin' guillotine over your head.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't train with partners. I'm not because I'm antisocial, but it just doesn't work out. I like to train when I want to train, and it's not, and I don't want to make a commitment to somebody because my schedule changes up and I can't be there. So I train by myself, and I have to resort to dumbbells all the time. And the dumbbells in my gym only go up to 140.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, getting under a bar scares the crap out of me personally.
Yeah, that's understandable. Without a training partner, you definitely have to back off a little. Instead of going 110%, you maybe have to go 90%, and that's just for your own safety. Unless you can get into like a power rack or something like that. But what I was talking about with the self-doubt, which you were kind of explaining a little bit, but in the gym, I've worked as a personal trainer as well, so having trained clients and just hearing the way people talk, people asking you for a spot at the gym, they'll pretty much always follow it with some kind of disclaimer saying, hey, do you mind giving me a spot? I'm not sure if I'm going to get this, or I don't know how many reps I'm going to do, but I'll give it a shot, or something like that, something negative. And that's just what I'm trying to say is don't be negative about this. You got to have a good attitude going into it. And it seems like common sense, but I want to talk about your subconscious mind a little bit. The things that you say out loud and the things that you think, that's what your brain hears, and then that's what your body winds up doing. So if you're affecting how your body performs by the way you think, why not program it with positive things? You know, visualize yourself doing really well on the bench press. Or if you can't do that, at least don't say negative things. Don't talk about how you're not going to be able to do it. I'd rather you don't say anything than say something like that.
Right.
It's like planting a negative seed in your mind right before you're about to do it.
Well, you're leaving.
Like if you're giving a presentation at work, are you going to like say to people that you're probably going to mess up and lose the deal?
But you're leaving. That's what I was going to say. You're leaving yourself a way out because you're afraid that you can't complete what your goal. So you're
right.
Kind of giving yourself a back door, so to speak.
But do you really need the back door? Because if you don't get this bench press, who cares? I mean, you don't fail. It's just working out. You're just training. So
yeah.
Whether you get it or you don't get it, you're still putting the time in. You're still getting the work as you're working out. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You're not a failure as long as you keep trying and you keep getting stronger. So don't be afraid of failure. That goes together with it because
right.
You're not a failure until you quit.
Okay, so you have to be positive about it regardless of what the outcome is. You have to be positive. Get under the bar. Don't say anything negative. Don't leave yourself a back door. Just do the lift. That's it.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. The next thing on your list is lack of goals. Now, don't we all have goals? We get in the gym. We want to lift, 350 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, if you have an exact number and an exact goal and an exact plan of how to get it, that is a goal. But you'd be surprised how many people just show up to the gym and they haven't even decided what kind of workout they're going to do yet. Or they kind of get there and see what everybody else is doing and just kind of hop in. Or you say, what is your goal? I want to just get stronger, lose some fat, increase my bench, and run 5 miles.
Right.
I mean, you can't have all these conflicting goals. You got to decide what you want, and then you got to make a plan on how to achieve it. And just with any goal, you got to have a specific goal in mind.
Right.
I want to know how much you want to increase your bench press by, and I want to know how long you're going to take to do this. And it's got to be something you can track. So week by week, you can see if you're on target or not.
Yeah, and that's a good point because in even large corporations, there's an old saying, if it can't be measured, it can't be managed. And so
exactly.
that's very critical. And I think everyone really knows this. But again, I kind of feel like this goes back to self-doubt. If I make this commitment to myself that I'm going to, you know, because goals have to be, you know the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Right.
It's this big insurmountable thing, but how do you do it? Well, you do it one piece at a time. So in other words, if your goal is to bench press 400 pounds and you're stuck at 255, then, you know, you have to do it in increments. You got to say, well, my most immediate goal is getting to 265 or 275 and
right.
chunk it up like that.
And that's setting a realistic goal, short-term goals leading to a long-term goal. So you don't want to say if you bench 200 now that in 2 months you're going to bench press 450. That's unrealistic. It's not a goal that can be accomplished.
Right. Right.
And I mean, when you set a goal, another thing you're supposed to do is write this goal down on paper so you can materialize it, and you post this everywhere you can. You hang it on your refrigerator, you put it on a post-it near your computer, and you tell your friends about it. People are supposed to know what your goal is, and that's so you don't have that back door, so you can't just quit, because now 10 people already know
Bingo.
This is what you're working for.
Yeah, I like that one, because if you do, if that's exactly, you know what, when I, back in 98, when I set out to lose weight, I told as many people as I could, because I had read that in a book about setting goals, that you can't erase it. Once you start telling people, if you keep it to yourself, it's like you can rewrite it as you go along. But if you tell people about it, it's almost like you've made this commitment.
Yeah, exactly. It's a commitment. People are going to ask you how it's going.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a really important one as well. Now, the next one actually is one that perplexes me as well. We have to take another commercial break here in a couple minutes, but what I'd like to do is go ahead and take the break early, because this one I feel like we need to dedicate some time to, and that is rep ranges, because I think that there's so many different schools of thought out there on rep ranges and what people should be doing with rep ranges and so on and so forth. And I think it gets confusing. I think a lot of people, they start out with, when they set a goal, they start out with one method of reaching that goal, and then somewhere along the line, they end up switching it up again and changing over. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will pick up with Mike Westendahl from CriticalBench.com, and we're going to be talking about what rep ranges you need to be training in order to have a bigger bench in 2009. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Back in the day before the ban, One Testosterone was known as a surefire mass builder. Now you can relive the past with One T. One T is a topical pro-steroid cream precursor that converts to One Testosterone. One T can help you gain 10 to 15 pounds of lean muscle mass in as little as 4 to 6 weeks. Get some One T while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for this powerful pro-steroid to be added to the ban list. Visit PRIMORDIAL performance.com. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Custom nutrition based on your own DNA? GeneWise makes that a reality right now. Time magazine has named retail DNA tests the 2008 invention of the year. Imagine having nutritional supplements, cosmetics, and skincare products designed specifically for you based on your own DNA. No more one size fits all. Custom is better. The genetic revolution is here, and GeneWise has the wellness industry buzzing. Call 800-373-8696 or visit them at dnaislife.com. That's 800-373-8696 or dnaislife.com. Be healthy, be wealthy, be GeneWise. When your research project requires protein recombinant peptides, think of PurePeptides.com. PurePeptides.com operates a state-of-the-art recombinant laboratory with the highest standards of production right here inside the United States. A complete line of stock products like IGF-1, LongR3, growth hormone-releasing peptides, growth hormone-releasing hormone CJC-1295, and mechanogrowth growth factors are readily available for the best prices at PurePeptides.com. If you don't see what you need, PurePeptides.com welcomes custom order requests. A team of scientists is ready to serve you. Don't risk the success of your project to questionable foreign sources. Trust PurePeptides.com.
Revitalabs.com, internationally known for the Revitatropin product line, which stimulates your body's hormone production, along with their best-selling fat burner, Revita FB Plus, is now introducing a meal replacement, Revita RPM, revitalizing protein matrix with 19 grams of protein, a multivitamin, low sodium, and only 104 calories per serving. Superhuman Radio listeners use promo code SHR747 at Revitalabs.com and receive a 10% discount on your first order. Remember, revitalize your body with Revitalabs.com.
Over-the-counter non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs carry a lot of systemic risks, but possibly the most annoying is that using them after a hard workout may actually inhibit muscle growth. But sometimes you just need some relief. That's why I use Ibunex. Ibunex is a topically applied ibuprofen formula that also includes glucosamine and chondroitin. Ibunex will not circulate throughout the entire body. It goes to work right where you rub it, and it works immediately. You can get a free sample of Ibunex by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking on the Ibunex banner. And this is really a free sample. You don't have to pay for shipping or handling. Get some Ibunex today. It's free, it works fast, and it won't stall your muscle growth. Inversion has been shown to increase brain function through better circulation, but standing on your head is tough on your spine. Discover how relaxing on a Teeter Hang-Ups inversion table for just a few minutes a day allows gravity to gently stretch and decompress your body. The Teeter Hang-Ups table is an effortless way to naturally reduce back pain by realigning the spine, restoring nutrients to discs, and reducing nerve pressure. Plus, the increased blood flow brings more oxygen and nutrients to the brain. Now, for a limited time, you can try the Teeter Hang-Ups inversion table for 30 days for just $14.95. Learn more about Teeter Hang-Ups inversion tables at BetterBackBetterBody.com. That's BetterBackBetterBody.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
So I like what I see when I'm looking at me when I'm walking past the mirror. Ain't worried about doing what you're gonna do. I'm a lady, so I must stay classy. Gotta keep it high, keep it together if I want to get better. See, I won't change my life.
And FPT is giving away two free personal trainer certification courses at superhumanradio.com. Two of them. The drawing will occur on the January 30th show. And I can tell you right now, the odds are good of getting one. You need to go over to superhumanradio.com and enter to win an NFPT certification course. Each one is worth $475. So check that out at superhumanradio.com. And of course, if you ever want to reach me, you can reach me by email at onair@superhumanradio.com, or you can reach me by calling the Superhuman Radio hotline at 206-222-2218. My guest is Mike Westerdahl from criticalbench.com, and we're talking about how to build a big bench for 2009. I want to have a big bench in 2009. It's the one lift that I've really neglected, and it's time for me to start paying attention to it. Now, Mike, this is one that perplexes me, rep ranges. I mean, where should I be training if I want a big bench?
Well, this is going to vary based on who's asking. If you're asking, would you consider yourself an expert or advanced lifter or more moderate?
Well, I've been training seriously since 2000, 2001, but I have not been training my bench press seriously because it's one of the lifts that I just I have painful shoulders, first of all. I mean, my shoulders, whenever I start lifting, whenever I start using a straight bar to bench presses, as opposed, you know, I get in this groove, and for some reason, my shoulders end up hurting. Maybe I'm executing the lift improperly.
Yeah, it's a very, very common issue. But, I mean, with the, I think we're going to cover that in part two of the interview.
Right, okay.
But as far as you having lifted for a great good amount of time, if you haven't done any low-rep type training, before I would recommend something like that for your case, I would say you would want to start maybe with something around 5 reps.
Okay.
What have you been training with typically, 8 to 10?
Well, no, I've been doing this new program right now. I'm using 140s dumbbells, but that allows me to kind of alternate my grip a little bit so I don't have to get in that groove. And I do triples, but I do as many triples as I possibly can in 15 minutes. And usually I get about 12 sets of triples out. That's what I've been working with recently.
I think that's an awesome rep range, and I think that's right on track. That's it. That is the rep range that I would recommend for people trying to get stronger, is heavy, heavy triples. Now, I don't know what your goal was when you were training with that program. The only thing I'd say, you know, you need to rest longer between sets so you're fully maximized and ready for a full strength second set. But maybe those were the heaviest dumbbells they have, so for you to get a good workout, maybe you just picked up the tempo a little bit.
Well, no, I've actually been experimenting with this routine where you do movements for 15 minutes And the idea is you progress when you can do more and more sets in that 15 minutes. But this is not for strength. This is
escalated density training?
Yeah, exactly. It's like a density training. Exactly.
Okay.
And it's more for cardio. I mean, in my opinion, I'm getting a greater degree of a blending of cardiovascular, aerobic and anaerobic thresholds seem to blend about halfway through the 15 minutes because I'm pumping hard. I'm breathing heavy. You know what I mean? It's almost like I'm doing cardiovascular.
It's a great workout. I've done those myself.
Yeah.
You add up the number of reps you're doing and the weight you're moving.
And then you times it by the number of weight and it tells you how much you work that day.
And you've done a lot more work than you have with three sets of 10.
Right.
You add it all up.
Right.
In a shorter period of time. So.
But I want a big bench. I want to be able to lay down and put, you know, 340, 350 on the bar and do a couple reps with it. And I'm not going to get there with what I'm doing now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to have to start using the barbell and we'll have to figure out what's the matter with your shoulders. But the rep range for strength, you want to be doing less than 5 reps.
Okay.
And the reason for this, as we touched on a little earlier, is because you're training your neurological system. Your central nervous system has to adapt to these weights. And that's the system that you're training. So it's not so much the muscles. It's getting your body used to this heavy stress. So it's reps less than 5. My favorite happens to be triples. And then as I get closer to an actual competition, you might go down to some doubles or singles for your sets.
Right. Okay.
But so I mean, that's pretty agreed upon, that lower reps are going to build strength, and then higher reps build hypertrophy. And then you have even higher reps that work your energy systems and are more for cardio.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, we come back to when strength is the key component of strength is the nervous system, it appears. And I don't think enough is done. There's enough attention paid to things that help the nervous system recuperate and actually strengthen the nervous system. You know, one of the things that I used to experience when I was squatting heavy and deadlifting heavy was what I started to call noise in my head. It was like I would get under the bar to squat and my adrenaline would come up and I'd have like 1,000 things racing through my mind, like, you know, unrack the bar, walk back properly, you know, keep my back straight. I'm nervous. What if I get too far down in the hole and I can't come out? You know, it's like all these things, like they just hit you all at once. And I used to call it noise. And I've learned that if you can get rid of a lot of that noise in your head, you're stronger. So, you know, the things that you're saying here about the nervous system, that eliciting strength at the 3-rep range, because we're really training for to kind of elicit a response from the nervous system, I think a lot of it really does come down to the brain, the spine, and the nerves as they run through the body.
Yeah, definitely.
It's amazing.
I mean, just comparing a powerlifter to a bodybuilder, you take two full-grown men and you have one guy that's absolutely huge, another guy that doesn't look as big, and the smaller guy that's the powerlifter is actually stronger. And that's the way they train. The bodybuilder trains to look big, whereas the powerlifter trains to actually be strong.
Right.
And if you want the best of both worlds, you do what we talked about earlier. You train your heavy exercises with heavy triples, and then you move on to your isolation assistance stuff and do some higher reps to make the muscles bigger.
Right. Yeah, I remember one day I was actually judging an event here in Louisville, and I can't think of the guy's name. He came from Indianapolis, a black guy. Powerlifter, really, really nice, very, very low key guy, he was about 178, or yeah, I think he was 178 pounds, and he pulled 700 pounds in the deadlift that day. And I happened to be sitting on the side, and I was a side judge, and I remember watching. He didn't have a shirt on, and I remember watching as he lifted the bar, the muscles in his back. It was almost like when you watch those war movies where they drop a bomb and you see the shockwave go out into the desert, you know what I'm talking about? It was like the shockwave went up from his lower back up into his lats and his shoulder. I mean, it was like a flashbulb, boof. It was just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. If I could have caught it like in one of those high-speed cameras where you could play it back, you could see muscle fibers becoming recruited in groups in his back. It was just, I was like, man, and that's muscular efficiency. This guy is reaching a lot more muscle fibers in his body than most people are, and that's why at his weight he was able to pull that weight.
Yeah.
It's really an amazing thing. The nervous system is really overlooked when it comes to strength. I mean, people need to pay more attention to it, really, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really stereotype a bodybuilder versus powerlifter because they often train a lot of the same exercises and do different routines and obviously there are some extremely strong bodybuilders.
Yes.
I'm just comparing the top bodybuilders to the top powerlifters.
You know, Ronnie Coleman is an example of an extremely strong bodybuilder. I think Ronnie Coleman could have
background.
Right, I was just going to say, and I was just going to say that he came from powerlifting, and he's kept a lot of that mentality as he's built his body. And I always wondered if he would go back into powerlifting someday. Actually,
but, yeah, you've got Johnny Jackson. I think that's his name.
Yeah.
He's in the magazines now saying he's the strongest bodybuilder.
Well, I don't buy that. I think Ronnie's stronger than him. Maybe pound for pound. Maybe if you looked at his weight class versus Ronnie's weight class, Johnny Jackson is stronger.
Yeah.
But I don't know how he can claim that he's the strongest bodybuilder in the world because, I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, what was Ronnie Coleman was front squatting? What was he front squatting back in those videos? 600 pounds and stuff? I mean,
yeah,
it's like
something ridiculous.
I mean, come on.
Crazy videos.
I mean, I feel pretty confident that Coleman could probably easily deadlift 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And that's probably a pretty top lift in this day and age, right? I mean, for the
power lift. I mean, without wearing a deadlift suit, no one's ever done it.
Really? I mean, he did, what did he do that in that one training video he did? I want to say he deadlifted 800 pounds for two reps, and all he was wearing was a belt.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, I got to believe he could pull 1,000 pounds, so. But anyway, okay, so let's get back to the subject at hand. Another mistake that people make that you'd like people to focus on is neglecting their back muscles. Now, this is counterintuitive. Why would I want to worry about my back muscles if I'm doing a bench press?
Right. And then you don't see it in the mirror, too, so you don't train it as hard. But
yeah.
It's more of a joke. Most people definitely are training their back. But
no, I know.
As me, you know, I really like bench pressing, so I've definitely worked really hard on the bench press where, you know, when back day rolls around, I might cut a few sets off or cut the workout short, and over time that stuff adds up to you, and you think, how does that affect your bench press? Well, we talked about that a little bit earlier, too, and you do use your lats to stabilize the weight on the way down in the bench. It creates a shelf for you as well as you're lowering the weight, so
right.
Actually half the lift, controlling the weight on the way down. You need to have a strong back.
Right, right. And
if
and
you
something
train your back really good and really hard, that should help your bench press as well.
So, would you train now there's some common opinions out there about training the back in the same plane as you do the bench press. So you would do like rowing movements in
right,
that same
lat pull down, rows,
right,
and things like that.
Because that's kind of the opposite
movement.
Direction of the bench press. So you would agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
Lat pull downs and rows would be great exercises to do.
Yeah.
And if you could even copy your bench press form the same way you bench and then grab the lat pull down bar with the same width, the same grip, and keep your elbows in the same direction and just do it as the exact opposite of a bench press. Lean back a little bit.
Now, here's one that's not on your list, but I'm just curious what your opinion is. What role do you think the brachials and the forearms play in a raw bench press? Do you think they play any role at all?
It stabilizes too on the way down. So
right?
Hammer curls are a great bicep exercise for anybody trying to get a bigger bench.
I was just going to say that because I've always, when I've looked at bench presses when I was judging and spotting, I would look and I would always think to myself that when you see the load, you know, when they unrack the bar and the load hits them, you can see their brachial muscles really straining as they're bringing the bar down.
So exactly.
That would be an important group as well, not to overlook. So, but again, the key here is to build a big bench. You have to think about the other compensating muscles, if you will, that are also aiding in the lift. It's not just shoulders and chest,
right?
And triceps.
I mean, we're going to talk about that in part two, also.
Right.
But
okay.
You've got to find out what your weakness is. If you've got like stabilization problems and shaking all over the place, you might have to put a little time in with a little bit higher reps before you can get to like the lower reps. And if, you know, if you have problems bringing the bar down under control, that could be your stabilizers and your back. If you have problems locking it out, you know you got problems with your triceps. If you get stuck right on your chest, you need to work the actual chest muscles a little more. So
uh-huh.
You got to break the lift down into all different segments and figure out exactly what your weakness is and then address that.
Now, the last one that you have here is too much cardio. This is a perplexing one because I know that, you know, a lot of powerlifters are guilty for almost using the sport that they choose to just become, in Italians we call them gavones, you know, just just like swallow everything that's relatively close to them and say, well, I got it because, you know, between tissue leverage and, you know, I got to keep my weight up and all these other excuses.
Yeah, that's exactly, it's excuses.
Right, but I mean, but it's, then there's the other side. There's the guys who want to look like Marius Putanowski and be like ripped to shreds and be really strong. And so where does cardio even fit in?
I mean, you got to find a balance, and it's going to be different for everybody based on your metabolism and how your body responds and what your nutrition is like. But I mean, if the only constant thing we have is the training, I don't know how much sleep you're getting. I don't know how you eat. So you just can't be doing a lot of heavy cardio right before you're about to go working out. That's obviously, that's a no-brainer. I mean, you see people actually running on the treadmill and stuff before they work out. I mean, that's day one. That should be common sense not to do that.
But I do 10 minutes of warm-up cardio. I don't do
that's
anything
different.
Insane.
That's just warm-up.
Yeah, I mean, I do 10 minutes, and it's nothing arduous. I mean, I just do 10 minutes to bring my body temperature up a little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, but so
that's
you're not
warming up.
Okay, you're not opposed to that, but you're saying like putting in a 45-minute like elliptical at a full tilt pace and then
right.
expecting to go and lift weights.
Yeah, forget about it.
Okay, so where does cardio fit in?
Well, you do need some cardio. You want to work your heart muscles, obviously, and keep your body fat levels down. And what kind of cardio you want to do? You just have to limit this to how your body responds. I'm talking maybe three days a week might be good. For someone else, 4 days a week might be good. But then you've got other people, they email me, they're following my bench press program, and they tell me that they run 5 miles every morning. They do this like 6 days a week, and then they're wondering why their bench press isn't going up. And I'm like, you're lucky your bench press is even staying the same rather than going down.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes...
If you want to get your cardio in, it doesn't always have to be like the, fat-burning heart rate where you're going for an hour. Try doing some sprints or something or some high-intensity cardio once or twice a week, and then you could throw in a lot of bodybuilders. You know, they do like 45 minutes of walking on the treadmill.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of walking, especially for if you... I've found that if you want to lose weight, the best thing that you can do is walk first thing in the morning before your first meal, and you don't have to do anything insane. I'm talking about 20 minutes. I tell people, walk out the door, walk 10 minutes in one direction, walk 10 minutes home, and go have your first meal.
Exactly.
Anyway,
you're doing it on an empty stomach. You're
yeah.
Fat, you're waking
well, you've
up.
Been fasted, and you're 8 hours fasted. You've been sleeping, so you're fasted. Your body has already shifted into using fat as its primary substrate. For energy at that moment in time. We're talking today with Mike Westerdahl from CriticalBench.com. Visit his website, CriticalBench.com. There's a lot of great stuff on this website, more than just building the big bench press. We're going to take one last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up and wrap up the show with Mike. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nigga, ask the bartender if you think we lie. But if you think we hot, nigga, think again. Because when it's sink or swim, you got to think to win. And if I drink this in, everybody will know it. Because I ain't going for it. So pray to the Lord that I don't pull out. Cuss out and bust out. Go to nigga proud. Make the trigger shout.
Hi, this is Carl. Protein builds muscle, and most protein powders taste like chalk. American Whey is the best protein powder I've ever tasted. It's lactose-free, fat-free, and dissolves completely. And the flavors are amazing. Double chocolate, creamy vanilla, wild berry, orange cream, peach cobbler, and my favorite, tropical banana blast. It even comes in convenient 10 and 25-pound tubs. Give American Whey a try. You'll love it. Go to AmericanWhey.com. That's AmericanWhey.com. Or call 888-462-5671.
When your research project requires protein recombinant peptides, think of PurePeptides.com. PurePeptides.com operates a state-of-the-art recombinant laboratory with the highest standards of production right here inside the United States. A complete line of stock products like IGF-1, LongR3, growth hormone-releasing peptides, growth hormone-releasing hormone CJC-1295, and mechanogrowth factors are readily available for the best prices at PurePeptides.com. If you don't see what you need, PurePeptides.com welcomes custom order requests. A team of scientists is ready to serve you. Don't risk the success of your project to questionable foreign sources. Trust PurePeptides.com. Inversion has been shown to increase brain function through better circulation, but standing on your head is tough on your spine. Discover how relaxing on a Teeter Hang-Ups inversion table for just a few minutes a day allows gravity to gently stretch and decompress your body. The Teeter Hang-Ups table is an effortless way to naturally reduce back pain by realigning the spine, restoring nutrients to discs, and reducing nerve pressure. Plus, the increased blood flow brings more oxygen and nutrients to the brain. Now, for a limited time, you can try the Teeter Hang-Ups inversion table for 30 days for just $14.95. Learn more about Teeter Hang-Ups inversion tables at BetterBackBetterBody.com. That's BetterBackBetterBody.com. Resveratrol may be the single greatest anti-aging discovery of the century. It's been shown to increase longevity and health in mammals, so why aren't you taking resveratrol? Consumer lab analysis shows that many brands of resveratrol simply don't contain the amount of ingredients claimed on their label. Transmax resveratrol from Biotivia is 98% pure and consumer lab approved for purity and potency. That's why I personally take Transmax. You can get Transmax resveratrol at Biotivia.com. That's Biotivia.com.
In the world of hardcore bodybuilding, there is no other resource like MuscularDevelopment.com. MuscularDevelopment.com, like our magazine, is uncensored, uncompromising, unrestrained, no bull. At MuscularDevelopment.com, you'll find message boards, photo galleries, contest information, training and rehab information, our weekly No Bull radio show, newsletters, and more. And we tell it like it is. No bull. Training, nutrition, drugs, breaking news stories. It's all here at MuscularDevelopment.com. MuscularDevelopment.com. Uncensored, uncompromising, unrestrained, no bull.
AndroShock is an all-natural testosterone support stack that contains no banned substances. AndroShock may be the most potent legal testosterone support stack sold as a safe alternative to steroids. With 10 dietary supplement ingredients that are believed to help boost your body's own natural testosterone levels, AndroShock will have you feeling stronger and more youthful in no time. Enhance your testosterone levels, don't replace them with harmful drugs. Try AndroShock today. Go to trulyhuge.com today to learn more about AndroShock.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
This is for my niggas locked away. Extra love for the ones who ain't got no date. But when we get checkmate with Ice Cube the Great, as soon as I get a word, we can rush the state. Fuck them lights in place because life is great. It don't matter if you wish and your folks ain't straight. I'm still
welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Couldn't get that out. Listening to Ice Cube over here. My guest is Mike Westerdahl from CriticalBench.com. And we've been talking about the mistakes that most people make while performing or trying to increase their bench press that are actually counterproductive. And episode two that we're going to do with Mike, we're going to be talking about the exact things that you need to do in order to build a big bench press. So you're not going to want to miss that episode either. Now, Mike, I mean, in your opinion, is the bench press the most important lift that people can, I mean, you know, there's a lot of theories out there that the deadlift and the squat and, you know, where does the bench press fit in, aside from the fact that it's one of the three lifts that you have to perform as a power lifter?
Right. Well, I'm biased, obviously, as owner of CriticalBench.com, and it's my favorite lift, but I'm going to have to say it's one of the top three right there with the squat and the deadlift, because most people don't realize, as we're going to talk about the setup in the next episode, but it is a full body exercise. I mean, if you do it right, you can even get sore in your quads, your tris, your back, your shoulders, your forearms can even get sore, your grip. I mean, if you put everything into this and do it the right way, it can be a full body exercise.
Right.
So I'm going to put it in the top three. My favorite top one exercise.
Okay. And can I ask you, now, are you still competing?
Yeah.
Can I ask what your bench is today?
Yeah, I'm actually competing equipped, so I wear the bench press shirt. The last meet I did was in December, and I got a 622.
Wow, that's really impressive. That's really now. How much does the shirt actually help? And I've asked this question to so many different power lifters. You know, is it different for everyone what the shirt adds to the lift, or is it pretty much across the board? If you have a raw lift that's here, and you add a shirt and learn how to lift in the shirt, that your bench press will increase by this percent.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that it's the same for everybody. It's almost like a completely different lift. I mean, lifting in a bench press shirt, that's almost a completely different exercise than the raw bench press. They're not even the same. I mean, there's different kinds of shirts, there's different plies or layers of material, and the way the lift performed is so different. It takes actually, some people can put the shirt on and right away maybe do 50 to 100 pounds more.
Really?
You've got someone else who practices in it for a year and a half and can never even get it right. So, I mean, it really, really varies. But the range could be somebody putting it on and being able to do less to someone like Ryan Kennelly, as an example, probably gets maybe 300 pounds out of it.
No
kidding. The reason I say that is because the all-time raw bench press record, I believe, is around 715, and the all-time equipped record is just over 1,000.
Which is Ryan. Right.
Right. The most you can get is about 300 pounds right now.
Who's the all-time raw bench presser?
I think Scott Mendelson still has it.
Yeah, he's amazing, man. I met him in I was at the Olympia this year, and we stayed at the same hotel, and we were riding up in the elevator, and we had a chance to chat a little bit. He's really a very, very genuine, nice guy. Really nice guy.
Yeah, I haven't met him myself.
Yeah, nice guy. All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to just summarize, okay, so we can wrap this up and pick it up where we're leaving off in the next episode. If you want to build a big bench press, first you have to stop making the mistakes that could be hindering your progress. And as Mike has laid out today, the top seven mistakes, the first thing is overtraining. You should be only training your bench press perhaps once, maybe maximum twice a week, correct?
Right.
Okay. Don't do silly things that pre-fatigue muscles. This isn't about bodybuilding. This is about strength building. So don't do too many warm-up sets. And also pay attention to your workout splits. Don't do work a muscle group that's going to be critical for you to lift to perform that bench press that day. The third thing is self-doubt. No negative talk. Lay down on the bench. Do the best you can. Don't give yourself an out. Don't give yourself a back door. Don't start setting it up for you not to attain your goal, which leads to number four, which is make sure you're setting goals. Write down. If you're starting at a 225, then your first plateau goal should be maybe adding 25%, 25 pounds to your bench press. When you get there, then you can go from there. So, but you have to have goals. If you're not setting goals and you're just, it's like leaving on a trip across country, not knowing what state you're going to end up in and not having a map, but you just know that you're going to go cross country. I mean, that might have been, you know, a worthy goal back in the 60s when the hippies were around, but you know, but for the bench press, it's not a good one. And then obviously the rep ranges. Mike likes the five or under. Preferably, he likes doing triples. I tend to believe that that's a good rep range too, because you're managing fatigue. Then, would you agree with that statement? You're managing fatigue when you're doing lower rep ranges.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take some time between sets too. At least three minutes, maybe 5 minutes between sets. We didn't mention that.
Well, no, and let's talk about that for a second. And that's a very important point. I stand to feel that you should rest in between sets as long as you need to until you psychologically feel like you want to get under the bar again. That's what I like to do in between sets when I'm trying to lift heavy personally.
Yeah, I mean, first make sure your breathing's completely back to normal and then make sure you're mentally ready, like you said.
Right, right. Okay, then the sixth thing on the list is don't neglect other muscles, like the back muscles, and even the brachials, and hammer curls for the brachials, and rowing movements for the back muscles, because they play a large role in your bench press. You're never going to get a strong bench press if your back muscles are not up to the job. Would you agree with that statement?
Definitely.
Okay. All right. And then lastly, too much cardio. You know, a little bit of warm-up cardio is a good thing, but, you know, doing 45 minutes on the treadmill and then expecting to go into the pit and start lifting heavy, you pretty much taxed your body already. You've used up a lot of energy stores, and now you're expecting to go and lift heavy, and you just can't do it. Can't do it. All right, so, Mike, I'm going to have you back on the show in a week, and when you come back, we're going to cover part two of this interview, which is the actual tips to increasing your bench press. And these are the things that you've taught for years that have been successful for your clients as well. And I'm sure you have lots of clients with big benches, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise, the website wouldn't be called Critical Bench. It would be called mediocrebench.com.
Right.
Okay. Visit Mike's website, criticalbench.com. Check it out. He's got lots of great information there, more than just bench pressing. I mean, if you're a strength athlete, whether it's, you're a football player, you're an MMA fighter, and you depend on strength, you can always find great information about building raw strength at criticalbench.com. You guys cater to the strongman competitors as well on that website, right?
Yeah, we just put up two strongman interviews today.
Cool. Who are they with?
Cover strongman.
Who?
One, let me just remember real quick.
Yeah, take your time.
Ori from Iceland.
Okay.
He's the world's strongest man competitor. And then we have another guy, Paul Newhouse, who is a lightweight strongman. He's going for his pro card this year.
Really? So now these are the kind of guys that we would see like on these Metrics ESPN2 shows that they have
for
the strong?
Yeah, these are the guys that are trying to get onto those shows, yep.
Those guys are amazing, man. When they pull the trucks and stuff like that, I mean, that's just, I look at that and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's insane. It makes powerlifting look like a joke.
Well, and you know what the interesting thing is? I mean, these guys are just, I mean, Paul Newhouse, his name is, right? But what an appropriate name, because he's probably as big as a house. I mean, these guys are big. I mean, they're like just they're like superior examples of what human beings can look like. It's like they're just monsters.
And there's just two weight classes, lightweight and heavyweight.
And what's the lightweight class?
I think
like?
It's 230 pounds and under is lightweight and strongman.
Wow. And is Marius Putanowski still a big competitor in that sport?
I see him on TV still. I haven't really followed it, you know, the latest competitions, but I think he's still one of the top guys to beat.
And he's a big crowd pleaser because he's got a body like a bodybuilder. I mean, he's, you know, very, very lean. Yeah.
It's like how Arnold was. I mean, he's totally ripped and one of the strongest people in the world.
Yeah, it's really cool. All right, well, anyway, listen, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show today and talk about how to build a big bench. This is really an issue of mine as well in 2009. I do want to have a respectable bench once and for all. I've got a real, you know what, I'm always proud to go to the gym on back day and leg day because I can move heavy weight with the best of them, and then I'm always timid to go in on chest day because I'm throwing around 140-pound dumbbells, and I'm like, man, I really want to get under the bar and put a few plates on and go at it, and I just can't, and it's something. Well, there you go. I'm negative talking, Mike. See, if you were here, you could smack me.
And we'll address it next week. And
there you go.
Find out what we can do to improve.
All right, good. All right, listen, Mike, thanks for being on the show. Don't forget to visit criticalbench.com, and we will have another episode for you tomorrow, so we'll see you then.